Welcome to Olives and Pimentos podcast. I have Tracy and Mark from the band
Cross Dog.
Sweet, that's some good sound. How's it going, guys?
very well, Sean. Thanks for having us.
How's Peterborough, Ontario treating you?
I mean, you know what? It treats us pretty well.
Nice.
No complaints about Peterborough overall. The ex-mayor of this city really likes our band, so what more can you ask for?
That's fucking wicked. How's the Red Dog doing, by the way? Is it still standing?
Oh, I have bad news. It is still standing, but it has been sold, and it likely won't be called the Red Dog in the future. But the good news is that the people who bought it are going to continue keeping it as like a music venue / bar.
So we've heard,
yes.
Well, that's good and bad. I loved the Red Dog back in the day. I haven't been up there in a while. I think I saw Big Sugar there.
Oh, amazing.
Cool. Yeah, I saw Big Sugar. They're probably like one of the loudest bands I've seen live.
Dude, if I'm remembering correct, they used to actually put signs up at their shows saying like, warning, this is an extremely loud show.
Yeah, exactly. Right? No, it's fucking, that band's fucking riff. But you guys riff too. And I talk about you guys on the podcast probably one or five or six times. Jennifer's trying to sneak by because she just went outside to smoke a joint. You don't have to sneak by. You can make all the noise you want.
No.
Okay. But I talk about you guys all the time because I think, in my own opinion, you guys, and I know you guys will do it right, and hopefully will go right, but I almost look at you guys like the new comeback kid.
Oh, wow. Man, that's a huge compliment. Yeah, that's a massive compliment. We've met Andrew from Comeback Kid in passing, and he is a sweet, sweet guy. And both Tracy and I have been fans of that band for a long time. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's the thing too, is like, your guys sound like, I love hardcore, right? Like going back from like from back in the day, from Sick of It All to from Ensign, they were on Victory Records.
Oh my god, dude, no one talks about Ensign,
right?
Holy shit.
No one talks about the old Victory Record days, right?
Oh my god, I can't believe you just brought up Ensign. You know what, man? Okay, so before this whole started, we were talking about Scott and how he produced our record, anyhow.
Shout out to Scott Middleton.
Him and I actually talked a lot about shows that we used to go to in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And we talked about how like Ensign was like touring a lot back then.
Well, they toured all the time, dude.
Yeah. But for whatever reason, a lot of the people that I talk music with don't know that band at all. So, like, that's cool that you threw out that name. Amazing.
Well, that's the thing, too, is, like, isn't, I don't think Victory Records is still around anymore, is it?
I'm not totally sure. I mean, I know there was a lot of drama around that label and how they treated their bands. I'm not a fucking professional when it comes to their label, so I can't really say too much, but I'm pretty sure they folded because of some, like, kind of inner label drama, I'm pretty sure.
I think that's the reason why Snapcase broke up too, right?
Ah, that would, hey, fair enough. Also, good fucking reference, Snapcase. I haven't listened to Snapcase in forever.
They did a show, a couple of shows last year in Buffalo, because that's where they're from. Yeah. But that one album, what's it called? I'm a dog. Can I figure it out?
I can't. It escapes me. But yeah, that adds up. That makes sense. Yeah.
The, hold on, give me 2 seconds. I'm looking it up right now because it's a fucking great album. And anyone who listens to hardcore, they have to listen to that album.
But you know what? That's a weird one though, because
Designs for Automation.
Yep.
2000.
A lot of the hardcore guys that I know, anyways, they don't find Snapcase like brutal enough or something. But to me, like,
really?
They're one of the most they're one of the most interesting sounding hardcore bands to me, because it's not just like throwing down, it's not just like mosh music, right? Like, it's actually kind of interesting and like musical.
Yeah, they got sound, they got a lot of different elements to it for sure. Like, it's hardcore too, yeah. But it's like, there's some like synth into it as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like they're very musical. Like, they're I shouldn't say underrated, because everyone who I know who likes Snapcase fucking loves Snapcase.
Yeah, man.
But like, I feel like they do deserve more credit for like kind of branching out from hardcore, kind of the way Refuse did. You know?
Oh, fuck, there you go. We haven't talked about Refuse on the podcast yet.
Oh, there you go, yeah. So that's Tracy and I grew up on Shape of Punk to Come and fucking love that album.
I think that album changed punk rock, and I'm not just saying it because I'm a fan of it, but that when that album came out, I probably listened to that album probably, fuck, I can't even count how many times. I still listen to the album today.
It's so wild to think how prophetic it was. Like, I know it's called The Shape of Punk to Come, and like, signs were pointing towards certain changes that were happening in, you know, the scenes at that time, but like, the way it really did speak to what was about to happen, and like, the massive shift in kind of what was more popular punk rock, I guess, was gonna, like, what was gonna happen. It was pretty like mind-bending to look back on and see how right they were, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a crazy album. They're a crazy band too, and like, from them, I just had a brain fart. I just smoked a joint, so whatever.
No, that's all good.
What do you call it? But that album, like, that band itself, like, changed everything. Like, as much as like corny as the sounds of the album title, it did.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about that album title, and I think it's kind of lost on a lot of people, is that they were paying tribute to Ornette Coleman for, like, because there's a jazz record called The Shape of Jazz to Come.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so, like, so I don't think they were intentionally trying to be as pretentious as it sounds. You know what I mean?
No, but then it's like, but it was so accurate, you know? Like, it's like, and it's a bit chicken or the egg. Like, did what they put out influence what came later? Or, which is arguable, because, like, you know, so much of their fame came a bit later, that, you know, they were really reading the signs of what was happening, or did they really just like predict kind of what was gonna, I don't know, there's just so much there to unpack, I think.
Well, when that album came out, I've been listening to hardcore and punk rock and ska too for the past, I don't know, 43 years. I got into indie rock for a little while. I'm like, fuck this shit. But when that album came out, a lot of people didn't pick, like, start listening to it till two or three years later, like, because it was released on, I want to say, Epitaph.
Was it Burning Heart, or in 1998, I think it first came out?
They were on Burning Heart, and then they went to Epitaph, but Burning Heart's a sub record company from Epitaph.
Yeah, exactly. But I have the original pressing of that record.
Do you really? Holy fuck, that's cool. Yeah. Really?
It's one of my favorite ones in my collection for that reason.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah, man, but like, no, you're right though. Like, that, because okay, so that album came out in 1998, and everyone, at least everyone I was friends with at that time, was into more traditional sounding stuff, right? Like, traditional hardcore or traditional punk rock. Like, another huge Swedish band that they were friends with at that time was Millencolin, right?
Yep, Millencolin's huge.
Like, super straightforward, you know, really good, catchy punk rock stuff.
Well, it's like skate punk too, but like, it's like,
yeah.
I don't want to shit on them, but whatever. it's like, you, like, if you pick up a Millencolin album, you know exactly what you're gonna get, right? Okay. And in my own opinion, I think that everything they put out is good. Like, I'm big fucking, I have a huge boner for skate punk.
Sure.
But it's like, Rancid. There's three good Rancid albums, and in my own opinion, and that's it. And
yeah,
it's the first three.
Yeah. So, like, the one before Lars?
Yeah.
Like, are you counting? Okay, so, like, the self-titled...
Let's go, and then
Outcome Wolves.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I agree.
I would probably agree with that, too.
Yeah.
See, I just don't...
I didn't really listen to them after and Outcome the Wolves. That was, like, it for me.
Yeah, that's what I mean, too, is, like, when they release some fucking dog shit album after Outcome the Wolves, and it's, like, okay, this sounds the same, and then every record from then... now sounds the same. Like, doing it wrong, the transplants were okay, but...
Not for me.
No, but, well, I'm just being nice. That was made for radio, too, right? That band was made for...
What I was saying about Refuse, though, yeah. Like, so 1998 had, like, we were just talking about these, like, skate punk giants. Like, I think 98 was actually the first Punk-O-Rama compilation, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you are, because the first one came out in 1994.
94? Oh, shit. Okay.
Because when the first Punk-O-Rama came out, it had the Offspring on it. It was the year before Smash when they released their second album. No, that's their third album. No, sorry, that's their fourth album.
You're talking about Ignition, right?
Ignition, yeah. So they had a song. Yeah. So yeah, it was like 94, 95 when the first Punk-O-Rama came out.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense. That actually totally adds up.
Yeah. Because 94 was a huge year for punk rock, because in that year, it was Green Day, Dookie, Smash by the Offspring.
Punkadroblick.
And then it was Rancid, Let's Go.
Yes, that's great. Right. Man, that was like my older brother always like listened to like all of that stuff. And so I would always be like stealing, like, and I was like a few years younger and I didn't listen to anything like that. Nobody I knew did, except for my older brother, you know, and I would always be stealing his like CDs and stuff and just trying to like listen to it kind of hidden in my room.
Yeah.
And that's like literally what got me into it. And I just remember that being like, you know, that time in punk rock was like iconic. It came to be such an iconic.
Huge. Like, and that's the thing, I've mentioned this on the podcast before. Smash by the Offspring was the number one selling independent album for like 25 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And if you can name me a bad song off that album, by all means, try.
No, that's true.
No, I can't, man. And like, it's interesting because I go back to a lot of old records I listened to as a kid and I'm like, man, how did I like this? Like, this was fucking garbage. But not to specify any, because whatever, but Smash still fucking holds up. Like, it's still good. It's like, all those songs are still just well-written goddamn songs.
It's still relevant, too, when you listen to the album. Like, if you listen to Punkadroblick, it's all right. Like, it's good right now. It's like NOFX. Like, I got, like, four albums I go to, and that's it. Like,
yeah.
No, NOFX is still going around. They're a great band when they want it. They're a great band live when they want to play really good live. but... like, they've released a lot of dog shit, too, right?
You're right. I agree with that, yes. Like, the thing with Punkadroblick for me was, like, fuck, that album was really good for that time. And it actually sounded good. You know what I mean? Like, because there were so many punk albums back then that were recorded poorly. But
yeah.
I feel like NOFX and the whole Fat Records kind of roster sort of... And I'm sure if we talk to Pat Mike, he would say the same thing.
He talks shit about everyone, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. No, but like they focused on making records that actually sounded good, and I think that really helped their label, because they were like, again, like, I fucking love old hardcore records. Like, one of my favorite fucking albums of all time is the Bad Brains album, like the Band in DC album. And I fucking love it, but it sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's, and that's the thing too, it's like Minor Threat too. Like, I love Minor Threat, but every Minor Threat album sounds like it's been recorded in a garbage can.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So Fat Mike really, like, I think he had the right idea by, you know, doing some kind of like, you know, taking these rough around the edges songs or whatever, but then recording them really well, and so people could hear them and be like, oh shit, like, this is good fucking music, you know? Yeah. It doesn't have to sound like trash.
No, that's the thing too, it's like, there's a lot of fucking great bands like on Fat, and I, you know, it's there, in my own opinion, it's like probably the number three top punk rock label or whatever, but they've done, Fat Mike did everything he could with that, and he did it. You know what I mean? And he did really well at it.
Yeah.
Like, I try to picture whether you like Fat Wreck bands or not. try to picture what, like, you know, the 90s and 2000s of punk rock would have looked like without it. Well, I guess, like, most of the 2000s.
It would have been nothing. Like, if it wasn't,
you know,
for...
I mean? Like, it's, like, a cornerstone of, like, modern, you know, punk rock music, I, like, you could argue.
Yeah, I could sit there and say, like, Epitaph Records, like, Brett Gurewitz did a really good job. And if it wasn't for Brett Gurewitz and Fat Mike, I don't think the genre would be there in the late 90s and early 2000s. How's that? And you know what? If it wasn't for those two labels, to be honest, I don't think it would be here as much as it is now.
No, 100%. 100%. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, just the opportunities given to so many bands because of those labels just allowed, you know, the music to grow more than just say, like, you know, SoCal or wherever. You know, there were those, like, really successful and thriving, like, local scenes. It would never have been able to really grow outside of that, you know? Not to the extent it did, anyway.
No, not at all. We were talking about what was the hardcore member we were talking about? Sorry.
Snapkin?
No, the other one.
Refuse?
And another band that doesn't get much talk, and they should. I don't know if you know them. A band called Raised Fist.
Of course, man. Yeah,
that
band. I feel like you can't really talk about Refuse without talking about Raised Fist.
That band, like, when they release Ignoring the Guidelines, that's another band that should never gets talked about at all.
That's true.
Yeah, no, it's true, actually. Like, it's, yeah, they kind of fly under the radar for a lot of people, even though they did have a huge influence on.
Yeah, and they're from Sweden, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But enough about all the other fucking bands. Let's talk about your guys' band. How's that, eh? Because I could talk about punk rock all day long. But so how did Crossdog begin?
You know what? It's not a brilliant story. It's not a terribly interesting story.
It's a story.
I played in a band with our drummer Mikey as like a traditional bass player, and the band was like a 5 or 6 piece band. And it was kind of like, you know, like a rock and roll band, a lot of fun. But all the other members of the band used to smoke cigarettes, and Mikey and I didn't. So they would go have smoke breaks, and Mikey and I would just kind of like play stuff just with drum and bass. And we decided maybe we should like do a real band with this kind of setup. And Tracy and I have been partners for a very long time, and Mikey and Tracy were also excellent friends back then, and we all just kind of decided, hey, Tracy should be the vocalist for this, and that's kind of it. That's how it happened. So yeah, we went from like practicing in little short bursts while people were having smoke breaks to like having full-on band practices, and that's how we started.
So the band's been around since what, 2013?
Yeah.
Nice. Tracy, what got your love for music, like, when you were growing up? What were you listening to?
I think, like, the big thing was, like, as far as, like, you know, kind of, I always say that, like, falling in love with, I guess, quote-unquote, punk rock, like, I feel like that kind of was the biggest, ultimately became, like, the biggest kind of shaping thing in my life, and it was literally stealing my brother's CDs and stuff. And a lot of that music I don't listen to anymore. I was just talking to my brother yesterday, and he was saying, you know, sending me some music. And he was like, I know you aren't really into like that stuff anymore. He still really loves skate punk and everything. But I've kind of, you know, grown into loving hardcore a lot more and whatnot. But anyway, yeah, that was kind of how I started, was from kind of stealing his CDs.
So,
and then as I got older, it was like I really started defining my politics through all these bands I was covering.
Yeah, I'm also very, like, I like skate punk, I love hardcore, I love ska, I love everything about punk rock. My go-to still is skate punk, I love it, but I do love my hardcore, it's my number one. And I also love politics, and that goes along with hardcore music as well.
Well, dude, I feel like, you know, that's all part of it, right? And it would... We would be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that, like, Bad Religion and Propaganda, like, had a huge part in shaping our politics, right?
Yeah, like, I would say Propaganda, in my own words, is probably the top three punk bands of, I don't know, all time. Because
100%.
They don't.
They're like our dream band to like play with. Because for both Mark and I, they were just pivotal in like who we became as people. Like that band in particular.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah, that's exactly like my the way I look at the world is a lot because of that band. And that band doesn't fuck around either, because when they haven't released a record in a long time, but every time they release a record, it's a fucking banger. And yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, they're like one of those, I go back to listening to like their earlier records and I'm like, there was so much silliness and everything. And like, it was so of its time, but like, I'm so grateful that they're a band that every time they put out a record, they just keep like growing and evolving, and they've never pigeonholed themselves. And every album is just like better songwriting, and like, if you can believe it, you know, like their trajectory of growth has just been so bang on for what I would want. And I love that about them. Like, some people still just listen to their earlier records. They're like listening to like Less Talk More Rock and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, good for you, but like, man, have you heard like anything they put out in the last like 10 years? Because yeah. It doesn't really compare.
Well, no, not at all. Like, I wouldn't even call them like right now, like I wouldn't even call them a punk rock band right now. They're almost like a cross between a punk band and a prog metal band. Like
totally. I was about to say the same thing, man. Like, you can hear all their prog influences now, like better than ever, and it's amazing. They blend the two styles seamlessly. Like, to hear a punk band that's influenced by Rush, you would think that would suck.
Yeah,
but it's amazing. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah. They're like pretty much no competition there. Like, the way Chris Hanna writes is like, it's poetry and it's profound. It's so fucking like well researched and intelligent, and like, nobody does it like that.
No, and that's the thing too, is like, they've been around for so long, and like I said, they're like, yeah, they're probably my top three bands of all time. Easy.
Yeah, you're in the right company for that.
Yeah, likewise, Sean, for sure.
There you go. So let's talk about the song and the new single, Hard Feelings. Tracy, you fucking rip on that. And the way Scott recorded it, and the way I hear it, it's when you first come on to the song, it's almost like a guitar solo.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Sick.
Because yeah. If you listen to it, and you guys obviously have, your vocals are more, like, usually the vocals are sort of on the same line and the same with everything else, with the bass guitar and the drums. But in the single, it's almost like you're just coming at full blast. It's like a huge guitar solo, because your vocals are louder than everything else in the beginning of the song. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude, it's interesting. Like, this, you're probably the third or fourth person who has talked to me about the vocal production on the album.
Fantastic.
And, or at least that song. I mean, it's similar to the rest of the album as well. But it's interesting, because I don't think we ever considered it. Like, we just, like, Scott was just very cognizant of the fact that our lyrics needed to be heard. Tracy's lyrics needed to be heard. And I don't think it's like, it's one of those things where like the mix is where the vocals are offensively loud. I think they're just like, they're where they fucking should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was pretty conscious of how, like, I know how I like my voice to be tracked or not tracked. And I know what amount of like effect I want on it or don't want on it. Like, I like a pretty dry vocal, and I don't want to have doubles of my vocal. I want it to just be natural distortion and, you know, a little bit of compression and stuff like that. Like, I know exactly kind of what I want. And so I think me knowing that and basically telling Scott that right from the jump, like, this is how I want to be heard, made it so it was like, okay, we've got that button down, so we don't need to, like, you know, we can just target what we want and go, and then go from there, you know. It kind of like remove some of the question that you might have around a vocal production, like, as a vocal producer, and it just kind of streamlined everything, you know?
Yeah, no, like I said, the single's fucking hard hitting. It's fucking amazing. So what's your guys' relations with Choices Made?
Oh, well, they're friends of ours. I think we played with them for the first time just shortly before the pandemic.
Yeah, probably like a year or so before.
Yeah, and we did a few days with them just because, I mean, the Southern Ontario music scene is, you know, it's everyone kind of just knows each other. It's like,
yeah,
it's the weirdest thing. Like, everyone has heard of each other, and then you get to know each other on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And so we played with them a couple times before the pandemic, and we just hit it off really well. And we think they're a fucking great band. And Tracy actually recently did some guest vocals on their new EP. So
yes,
yeah, we just hit it off, and yeah, we're good friends with those guys.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at the Spotify and said appears on Choices Made, and then I was listening to the EP on Friday, and it's like they fucking rip too. But yeah. You guys should do a huge tour together across Southern Ontario.
That'd be sick. We really, really like them as people and as a band. Yeah. So yeah, there would be no complaints from us on that.
For sure. And so you guys just got signed to Stomp Records.
Yeah. Well, we didn't just get signed, but we finally just announced it.
Yes. Well, okay.
Been a bit of a secret for like, a badly kept secret.
Yeah. Full disclosure, we signed that contract December 2022.
Holy shit, eh?
Yeah. So we just haven't been able to announce it because we're
recording.
Yeah. We didn't have like the album ready or anything. So now everything is coming out. So yeah, like you're going to see a lot of stuff in a short period of time. We have two more music videos coming out, and then the record comes out in June.
And so you guys are going to do a tour across Canada or some shows in Ontario?
Well, here's the thing. We will be doing some touring for the record. Absolutely. 100%. But we just had to cancel the tour that was supposed to happen right after the record come out. So that was unfortunate. So we were supposed to be touring in June. That's no longer happening. But we'll have the dates up, the dates that we're going to make up for as soon as possible.
Yeah. We're basically just, you know, Stomp's working on rebooking stuff. Unfortunately, yeah, the pulling out of that tour wasn't something we would ever normally do, but it was obviously like we have valid reasons for why we didn't want to continue on that tour with that band. So
can you tell me the reasons?
Sure. I mean, we could talk about it. Essentially it was just this band, from Chicago, Flatfoot 56, I guess, it was brought to our attention after we had sort of been asked to do this, Canadian portion of their tour. I think it was just the Ontario and Quebec dates. But anyways, it was brought to our attention that there was like, you know, a pro-life kind of history that they have, either by like, you know, participating in events, but they also had this one song that the lyrics were, not only pro-choice, but misogynistic. It was just pretty gross.
Pro-life.
Did I say pro-choice? Yeah. I meant pro-life. Very much not pro-choice, pro-life. And really misogynistic. So when we saw those, Mark immediately was like, he brought it up to me, and we were just like, yeah, we're not doing this. So yeah, we pulled off, and it ended up that, you know, as soon as we told Stomp, they started pulling us off shows. We were reached out to by the Hard Luck Bar, which is where one of the shows were, by the promoter, and they were like, that's not like you guys to pull off a show. What's going on? There must be a good reason. We told them. They actually then decided to cancel the show altogether. And then Stomp decided to cancel that band's, like, supporting that band's tour.
Mm-hmm.
None of which had anything to do with, you know, us. We just didn't want to play the shows, but
yeah, so it was pretty cool being the new band on Stomp Records and canceling the first tour they booked for us.
It's amazing.
and then being the reason that band's entire Canadian tour was canceled. So that was, oops.
No.
But basically what ended up happening was that you know, we had a conversation with them. They were actually, like, really nice. And Stomp, I think, told them, as we did, that, you know, maybe if that's not how you feel about that topic, you should pull that song because kind of seems like you feel that way. but now, apparently, they're working on getting that song pulled off streaming services. So, who knows?
Yeah, maybe they should. It's 2024, right?
Right. And, I mean, it would have been nice if they did it, you know, sooner. if they don't feel that way, which was their statement. Sort of, they were like, you know, it's an old song, we don't play it live anymore. It's like, yeah, but you know, if I wrote a song that I felt dramatically different about, you know, I wouldn't be able to sleep with knowing it was still there. I would do everything.
What's the song called?
Is it called Fight to Live or something?
I think Fight to Live. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It's like, you know, not only kind of speaking to, you know, stopping women from, it's like not just saying, you know, that you have to save the life of an unborn child by stopping people from having abortions, but it's like, be a man and stop your partner from, don't let your partner have bodily autonomy. Don't let her make that decision. It's like, it's pretty gross.
That is pretty gross. Mm-hmm. That's not cool. Well, good on... Say again, sir?
We're working on new dates.
Yeah, that's long story short, that's fine. No, I would have said the same fucking thing. So I'm pretty sure, like, all three of us talking right now are of the same mind, if you will.
Right.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, I was wondering what happened with that, because I was looking forward to seeing you guys play, but I will...
Thank you so much. You will get to see it as soon as possible, because... Stomp obviously doesn't want to just cancel the tour and not give us any more dates, so they're working hard now to make up for those shows, and this summer we definitely will be playing as much as we can around Ontario and Quebec. So,
are you guys playing Pooza too?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're playing Pooza on the Friday at Turbo House. It's a bit of an earlier show for us. It's at 7:30, but we love Turbo House and we love Pooza Fest, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, what do you call it? Strike Anywhere is playing that festival too.
Yes, they are.
Yep.
Are you good bands on there. I'm excited. Last year was super fun, so I'm actually kind of excited that we get to sort of wrap up earlier on the Friday. And last year, I think we were in the studio that weekend, so like we basically missed half of the weekend, and then we came and played our set. I think it was on a Sunday. Which was awesome. It was a super fun night, but we didn't get to do any of the other Pooza stuff. So now it's kind of cool that we get to like play Friday night and then go like have a great weekend for the rest of the weekend. Not to think about it.
Yeah, no, we're gonna try and get down there next month, because I haven't seen Strike Anywhere yet.
Yeah.
And they never tour, so.
Dude, I saw them like, when was it? I mean, it was a million years ago. I think it was when it was at the cathedral, like back in the day. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, they're like H2O. They never come to Canada.
Yeah, you're right. Now that we're talking about this, I feel incredibly lucky, because I saw them in London with the Loved Ones.
Strike Anywhere?
Yeah, it was Strike Anywhere with the Loved Ones, and I think Bouncing Souls too. I think it was those three bands.
Yeah, it sounds fun. I think I was at that same show too, because that's all Epitaph stuff too, right?
Yeah. That was a rad show.
Yeah.
And I really like Strike Anywhere. I think they're great.
Well, you spoke of the Loved Ones too, and what's his face? The singer's got a side project now.
Dave House, yeah.
Dave House, but that that band, I wish still fucking was around, to be honest with you. And same with Smoke or Fire.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Yeah.
That fucking band was fucking rad. Like, I don't know whatever happened, but anyways.
Yeah, for sure.
So Mark, what are you listening to right now?
Oh, thank you for asking. So I will tell you specifically what I listened to today, which was have you ever heard of a band called Gouge Away?
Yeah, man.
Okay, so their new album, for the last 2 days now, I've been listening to it, and I'm really enjoying it. They're a band that I kind of slept on when they were new, but this new album I'm really fucking into. And, like, I don't know about you, but, like, I'm a big fan of, like, Fugazi and, like, Sonic Youth and, like, noisier kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and to me, the new Gouge Away sounds a lot like '90s sort of, like, not shoegaze, but like Fugazi, but just more aggressive, like a little more hardcore. And I'm really, really into it for sure.
Yeah, they've been around for a while too.
Yeah, yeah. I think that they kind of broke up briefly. I could have the history completely wrong, but I think they broke up and all kind of moved away. But then they got back together, made this album, and it rules, and now they're on tour with Mets. So that's amazing.
That's fucking cool. So Gouge Away, you're probably listening to more than that, aren't you? No?
I'm sorry?
You're listening to more than that, aren't you?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, like lately the new Gouge Away, the new Mets is cool. I was listening to that recently. You know what else I'm listening to right now? Is a whole shit ton of Misfits songs, because I am playing in a Misfits cover band that we're and we're playing at Pooza Fest. So I had to relearn a bunch of old Misfits songs.
What's your favorite Misfits song?
Oh shit. At this moment in time, it's probably Horror Business, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my jam. My favorite Misfits record is Earth AD, because I like that heavy shit. But yeah, we're having a lot of fun in this Misfits cover band right now playing Horror Business. So that's my answer for now.
I think my favorite song, actually two, Hyper Moments and Dig Up Her Bones.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Both amazing songs. Both for solid. Sure.
Both solid songs. And Miss, what have you been listening to?
Well, I'm going to listen to the new Mets record. I've had that on my to listen list, but haven't got to it yet. So I'm excited to hear that. I've been listening to some Chapel Roan, which is not, in some people's estimation, they might not think that's very punk, but she's pretty fucking badass. So I'm here for that.
I don't know who that is.
Chapel Roan, she's, I don't know, I guess some people think of her as, like, they compare where she's at right now to, like, where Lady Gaga was before she was popular and just kind of, like, rogue and, like,
oh, right.
And just, yeah. You know, really creative and, like, into the art of it all and, like, making a statement in a lot of different ways. So I've been feeling that. And probably some Lambrini Girls. I don't know. We've kind of been listening to like Gel. There's been a lot of things kind of floating through our playlist in the house lately. Wine Lips, the new Wine Lips from Stomp Records.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, let's, that album's awesome. Yeah, let's shout out some Stomp bands. Yeah, the new Wine Lips album is great.
Yeah, I think there's a new Filthy Radicals coming out too, isn't there?
Yeah, Kyle and I were just talking about that the other day, actually. Shout out to Kyle. I love that guy so much. I would hug him and kiss him right now if I could. But yeah, they are working pre-production on their new album. Last I talked to him, he was just kind of finishing up some lyrics for the album. But
yeah,
I think they're close, I think, yeah.
And then the new Anti-Queens came out.
It did.
Yes, it did.
Or no, the record didn't. Not yet. It's coming.
It's coming, yeah. The single came out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So their next single actually is coming out on Wednesday, and
yep. You
may recognize someone that's not in the band in that song as well.
Who, you?
I mean, maybe.
Cool, right on. This is a great guessing game. I think we already guessed it.
Such a good
secret. Wicked.
I mean, maybe. We'll see on Wednesday, but...
Yeah, they're playing in my area because we're from Fergus, Alora.
Oh, yeah.
And they're playing Gain Festival on Saturday.
Right. I just saw a poster for that. Yeah, that'll be a good show for sure.
Yeah, man. My Son the Hurricane, too. What other Stomp records?
Dude, hang on. I'm going to stop you right there because I'm gonna spit some facts real quick.
Yeah, man.
So, My Son the Hurricane. You don't hear about that band very often when you're talking punk rock.
No.
Fair enough. But me and that drummer grew up in the same little shithole town.
What was the shithole called?
Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, there you go.
His name is Dano, and we went to the same high school. And he's basically like the manager of that band, and he's killing it with he does so much work and works so hard with that band, and they have done so well, and I'm very proud of him.
Yeah, they've I've seen them a bunch of times too. I think I've seen them like three times, and that's That's a band like, I guess I would call it ska core.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I guess that's yeah, because, yeah, I guess they would be like ska core. But yeah, they're playing on the Friday night before the Anti-Queen, so we're going to check that out as well. Yeah, totally. Any shows you guys are really excited to go to?
You know what? We haven't really bought tickets for anything, at least for the summer, because we're not sure when we're playing again.
Yeah. We're really busy right now. Like, we've been really focused and busy on trying to get everything ready for the album release, including, like, 3 videos and a bunch of other stuff that just has to get done. So we haven't really been, like, just sort of been keeping our schedules really open and not really seeing too much what's out there. So if you have any recommendations or things that you think, knowing what we like.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, Sean, I just read that the Hives are coming back to Canada, and I would love to see the Hives. I've never seen the Hives, and they're one of my favorite bands, but I think I slept on tickets, and I don't think I'm going to get them now.
Yeah, they played, was it 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
Yeah.
In Toronto.
Yeah, they're coming back already.
Yeah, and they're coming back really fast. What are we going to? Lord Riverfest. Jennifer and I usually volunteer there, but we're actually getting married on stage on the Saturday.
That's so cool, man. Congratulations. That's awesome.
And then we're my friend Chuck Coles and the Creep Show are gonna play us on.
Fucking right. Also beautiful, beautiful human beings.
Yeah, they're great. They're on Stomp. Chuck Coles is probably one of the nicest motherfuckers I've met.
Dude, we are such good friends with them as well. And you're right. They're just, Chuck is beautiful. We love them.
We wouldn't even, like, I don't even know if Stomp would know who we are if it wasn't for those dudes. So, like, the guys in the Creep Show for hyping us up and getting them to pay attention to us after seeing us play. Like, that's pretty much why Stomp paid attention to us. So
yeah, straight up, tell the story.
No, just that's the story. They saw us live and got Stomp
It was Sean specifically. Sean. So the reason we are signed to Stomp is because we played a show at the Bowline, and Sean and Ali just happened to be there from the Creep Show, and Sean during that show called Matt from Stomp and expressed to him he should sign us, and that's how it happened. So like. Yeah, bless that man for sure, and bless the Creep Show.
Yeah, shout out to the Creep Show. Shout out to Chuck Coles. Then we're Jennifer usually volunteers like at a bunch of festivals because that's both of our first love, is music, and then the cats. I don't know. I think the cats and music are tied, and I'm number 3.
I know, it's a tough contest, honestly.
Right. So then she's volunteering at Mariposa Festival. So one of her favorite artist, Amigo the Devil.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, for sure. So you don't hear about that guy very often. Like, well, at least in our circle.
No, you know, like I didn't even know who the fuck he was like before I met her.
Yeah. Oh sure. Yeah.
And then we went and saw him. I was like, holy shit, they call it murder folk, the genre.
Weirdly, that makes perfect sense.
So she's pretty stoked to go up there to volunteer that festival. It's Amigo the Devil, Band of Horses. It's a really folky, but they got a lot of really good folk bands. Like Band of Horses, they're fucking killer, dude. Like they can play. What else? And then we got tickets to Limp Bizkit in Toronto.
Nice.
So
nice,
I got that for she had that for me for Christmas, and the fun thing about that show is Corey Feldman's hosting it.
What?
Okay, yeah.
So, wait a minute. Hold on. Back up for a second, because I heard that him and his band were like opening, but you said hosting.
So what? Like, do you watch him on YouTube? Because he's fuckered, eh?
I've seen like you know the odd clip, but I wouldn't say I follow him.
Yeah, whatever. Like I read on it, like on the tickets at what do you call it? Limp Bizkit and Corey Feldman's band's opening, and then he's hosting the whole fucking thing.
like what do you mean? Like
emceeing the show, yeah.
What? That's gonna be chaos.
That's gonna be fucking mental. I can't wait.
Damn.
And yes, then
that's cool.
Then we're going to Montreal. Like that. What's that, Siri?
Yeah, I mean, it would be fun to go there just for that.
So yeah, exactly. And Limp Bizkit too. What the fuck? Whatever.
Yeah.
And then we got tickets to NOFX in Montreal.
Oh, nice.
So is that the
I was just like seeing because Bad Waitress are playing with like the farewell kind of thing, and it's like a bunch of bands, right? Isn't it like 8 bands or something?
Yeah. So it's NOFX, Descendants, Circle Jerks, The Interrupters, Bad Waitress. What do you call it? Fuck, they're a fat band. Something dead. Sorry, I'm an idiot.
No, it's okay. I wish I could help you. Mark's the guy with that kind of brain. I'm not good at like thinking of stuff on the fly.
No, me too. Which is why I don't understand why I have a podcast. Dead to Me. The band Dead to Me.
Oh, yeah.
They're good. So we're looking for that. That's going to be a good show. I've seen NOFX a handful of times. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah, and there's the Flatliners are playing too, right?
Yeah, good old Chris Cresswell. They're playing as well.
Choke? I'm looking at the poster now. Choke?
Choke's playing too?
No, not that in Edmonton. Sorry, not in the Montreal one.
Oh.
Sorry.
Fuck. I love Choke.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, there's a bunch of bands that are doing like a bunch of dates, but then there's so Bad Waitress are doing Toronto and Edmonton. It looks like Choke's playing the Edmonton one.
Fuck, I want to go see Choke so bad. I love that band.
I think they're touring. I think I saw that they're touring. We were supposed to play with them. What was it last year, a year before, or something? And then the shows ended up having to get canceled.
We're Tracy and I are also old Choke fans. So yeah, shout out to them.
Yeah, man.
But we had an Ontario Quebec tour lined up with Choke.
Yeah, they're coming through.
And unfortunately, that also, I mean, it sucks that we've scrapped so many tours in our short time, but we had to scrap that one because instead of doing the tour that they had planned, they decided to just open for Protest the Hero.
Yeah, like we didn't scrap it. That was canceled on us.
Yeah, sorry for the confusion. They scrapped the tour because they wouldn't. I mean, it makes sense. They could do a tour as a headlining act, or they could do a bunch of shows with Protest the Hero, and I think they made the right choice. Like, let's be honest. So, yeah. So we ended up getting bumped for that one, but hopefully we can play with them again.
Yeah. Do they have any new stuff coming out or not? They're just doing their old stuff.
No, but they, like, I just saw that they're going on tour in June with A Willem Scream, so it looks like they're going to be coming through.
That's another band that's fucking amazing, too.
Yeah, Kingston, Hamilton, London, Toronto. So you could catch them. And that's in June, so.
I haven't seen A Willem Scream either, so.
Yeah, you should hit that show up.
Yes, I know. Have you guys seen them?
Oh, yeah. I've seen them countless times. Fuck, I've played with them, haven't you?
No, I never have. I mean, I played with the Full Blast, so, like, Brian. But, like, because he's the bass player from.
Yeah.
Like, but no, I haven't played with A Willem Scream.
Yeah, they're probably one of my favorite bands too. They fucking just.
Or is that? I thought you were talking about Choke.
Oh, Choke! I played with Choke, you know, long time ago. Yeah, in like a old bands, but not this band.
That's fair. Okay, guys, that was wonderful, and it was a great conversation about punk rock and hardcore. Another question for both of you: top 3 hardcore bands of all time. Let's go.
No, I got this. This is gonna be easy. So my favorite hardcore band is so fucking painfully obvious, but it's Minus Red. Minus Red is my favorite hardcore band. I adore their entire discography. I can play almost the whole thing on guitar and I fucking love it. Number two is going to be Refused. And that is mostly because of the shape of Punk to Come. I fucking love Songs to Fan the Flames. It's a great classic kind of, you know, traditional sounding hardcore record, but like fucking Shape of Punk to Come changed my like musical direction. Like I started playing guitar differently. I started listening to music differently after that album. So Refused for sure. Number three. Oof. This one's going to be a toss up, but I think I'm going to go with Bad Brains. And I part of me is like, oh, that band used to be terribly homophobic. Like, how can you possibly support that band? But you know what? They have come out and apologized. They were very young when they said the shitty things they said. And I feel like learning is more important than, punishing people for the rest of their lives. So
yeah, that's fair.
I'm going to say Bad Brains. So those are my three. Minor Threat, Refuse, and Bad Brains.
Okay, well, I guess for me, I would say Refuse are going to be up there just because they're formative for me. Final Exit, which also has a member of Refused in it. David Sandstrom, the drummer, was actually the vocalist in that band. Umeå Hardcore, like, period. I could just say that as an entire genre. And then, so, like, that's, like, that Swedish hardcore scene that was, like, so fucking, like, iconic in the 90s. To this day, honestly. And then, what else? Maybe Void? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. There's a lot I could throw in there.
Dude, you know what I just realized, too? I have a Black Flag tattoo, and I didn't say Black Flag.
Yeah, so do I, actually.
Black Flag would be in there for me, too, I think. I don't know.
Probably should have said Black Flag if I'm sporting a Black Flag tattoo.
Actually, I got a Minor Threat and a Black Flag tattoo.
Oh, fuck. There you go, dude. Yeah.
So I will go this. I will go H2O.
Oh, shit. Okay.
7 Seconds.
Fair enough.
And then I'll do 4 Black Flag, Minor Threat.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, honestly, there's so many like hardcore adjacent bands that kind of can slot in. So it's like, where do you draw the line, really?
Yeah, I think 7 Seconds is fucking amazing. And
you know what? I kind of forget about 7 Seconds because, like, they had that weird period in their career, right?
Yeah,
where. Like, they were very much not a hardcore band.
Yep.
But, I mean, having said that, their catalog is amazing. And, yeah, I agree. 7 Seconds is definitely, like, deserving of the recognition of this conversation.
And Dag Nasty.
Oh, Dag Nasty. Holy shit. Okay, yeah. Hey, how do you feel? Speaking of, like, kind of, like, hardcore bands that share members, how do you feel about the band Off?
I love it.
I was going to say Off, actually, as one of my bands, and I totally fucking forgot that.
I think it's great. I've seen Off twice, and...
Same.
I think they're fucking great. I could care less if it's a fucking... what do you call it? Like a super group of hardcore? I really don't give a shit.
I don't give a fuck.
The fact that you get to see what's-his-face on vocals in... What's his name again?
Yeah.
I find that band incredibly interesting because of their, I don't know how much you know about their story about how that band started, but like Dimitri Coase, who plays guitar for Off, he was supposed to produce a new Circle Jerks album.
Right.
And it all fell apart. But then Dimitri and Keith, like as a result of just hanging out together, started Off. And Dimitri had never played punk before. He was like, he wasn't even familiar with Black Flag. He didn't even know Keith's old band. And the fact that, like, they were able to make such amazing music together, despite that fact, is incredible. I love that band.
Yeah, I think that band, they're fucking amazing. I wish they would tour a lot more.
Yeah.
I would love to play a show with them. That'd be so amazing.
It's probably tough for Keith at this point in his life to tour, right? Like, kudos to that guy for fucking still doing it, but like, you know, he's kind of elderly at this point.
Oh my god, is he?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Keith? Like, I think he's 70, isn't he?
Oh my god, yeah, he's almost 70.
Yeah, for sure.
So, is like, he?
That's gotta...
Yeah, he's 68.
Yeah, there you go. Well, like Toby Morris is like what, fucking almost 55, isn't he?
I'm not totally sure, but that sounds about right.
Cause that's his whole complaint on his fucking podcast is because he hates touring and he's too old.
Yeah, you really at that point in time or at that age, you really gotta want to do it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep talking shit about him on fucking Instagram. I'm like, fuck, come to Canada, let's go.
For sure.
But he's unfollowed me and followed the podcast like fucking 5 times. That's every time I sit there and say something, I'm like, oh fuck, So we like, fuck, let's go, come to Canada. And I'll fucking say, fuck, let, or whatever. I'll say something stupid and then, like, sure, yeah, yeah. And then I'll apologize and we'll start following the podcast again. So it's pretty funny. So this is the part of the podcast where you guys tell me all the socials and all the news for Crosstalk.
Sure. Tracy, take it away.
All right. Well, we are on TikTok, Instagram, you know, all of the places. Actually, I don't think we're on X. I think we boycotted X after the Elon Musk thing.
Yeah, that's a pile of dog shit, eh?
But you can find us everywhere otherwise that you would typically find a band. And we have our next single will be coming out next month.
What's the single called?
Oh, we haven't announced the next one yet. So.
Oh, just, cool. Yeah. Secret. Your... I will shut my mouth.
There's two more coming before, you know, the record comes out. And, Hard Feelings just dropped. You can find that on any of your streaming services or YouTube for the video. And our record comes out June 7th.
And you guys are also on Bandcamp.
Yes, that's where you can pick up. Actually, you can pre-order the vinyl on Bandcamp. So please go do that.
And Bandcamp, you get all the money, don't you?
Well, you know what? For some of the stuff we do.
No, we don't.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah, Bandcamp does.
He's born more of a cut, more of a cut than less of a cut than Spotify, right?
Yeah, for sure. And Bandcamp is also, as far as I know, still doing Bandcamp Fridays.
Yeah, it's so, like every other Friday or every Friday, like the band gets everything. So, for anyone who's listening, buy the record and buy the singles on Friday from Crosstalk because they get all the dinero.
Thank you. And the pre-order for the new album is up now. So you can find a link at stomprecords.com.
Nice.
Or at
any of our socials.
Any of our socials, yeah.
Exactly. Nice. All right. Shout out to Stomp Records. It's been a while trying to do this, but thanks for doing it, guys.
I'm glad we got to lock it down. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, and we'll do another one at the end of the summer, and or we can... do a short one about the album coming out. When it comes out, I'll give it a listen and we can talk about it. But in my own opinion, it's gonna be just as good as the last one. So, and the last one's fucking excellent. So fuck it. And you got a lot of good people behind you in this band. And like I said before, I talk about you guys all the time. And hopefully you guys get your just dues because in my own opinion, I think you guys are the face of hardcore in Canada right now.
Sean, that is so incredibly kind of you to say. Thank you so much.
I can't wait for you to hear the record and to hear what you think of it, because that'll like actually mean something to us to hear. So
we also feel
incredibly lucky that we've got to know so many wonderful people through this band, you included. And I hope we can just keep doing it as long as we can, because we keep making just the best friends. So thanks so much, Sean.
Yeah, no worries. And hopefully you guys make music for a very, very, very long time. But I mean it too, though. Like, you guys remind me of the new comeback kid, and there's not a hardcore band in Canada that works harder and is smart as you guys, if you will. Other than, actually, I will put, sorry, I don't know, Tall Pork.
Oh, yeah. We've recently just actually, I don't know, we just connected with them somehow.
Their fucking album is fucking bonkers. You gotta listen to it. It's great.
All right. Yeah, no, we will. Because they just kind of connected with us. So, now we got it on our radar.
If you, really want to, how I compare them, I talk about you guys and Tall Pork like all the time. How I compare Tall Pork is a today's SNFU.
Oh my God. Nice.
Oh my God. You are speaking to our hearts right now. SNFU is one of our favorites. That's amazing.
Because if you listen to all the other stuff, seriously, throw it on, you're like, fuck, this sounds like fucking, If You Swear, Catch No Fish. You know what I mean?
Amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah. You guys got to check it out. It's great. But stay on the line, guys, and thanks for doing this, huh?
Yes, thanks, Sean.
All right, cheers.